Welcome back to our anime show. This is a Green Queen.
And Binge Monster.
Let's go. What's up, everybody? How are you today? No one's going to answer that, but I hope you're doing well when this episode comes to you hot off the presses on Thursday morning or whatever time it is in your region. With that being said, we have a lot of fun stuff that we're going to talk about today, aka one of our favorite shared activities, video games. We love video games. Binge Monster and myself love video games. I know we had Rion on and we talked a lot about some different anime video games and how they are and so forth with Rion, who was our expert. But today we are going to talk about the Crunchyroll Game Vault. Now, this is something that I don't even know if a lot of people have explored or know about or what have you, but this is definitely something that Crunchyroll, I think, has been pushing in the last year. So Binge Monster and I kind of went through and played a couple games, which we'll touch on, and we're here to give you sort of like a little bit of a bird's eye view, let you know what the deal is with that. So, Binge Monster, do you want to just go ahead and tell the listeners what the Crunchyroll Game Vault is?
I think the Crunchyroll Game Vault is Crunchyroll's attempt at competing with Netflix and Apple Arcade. All these other streaming giants are starting to put out portals where users can play different games on them, and quite frankly, this is something that really has missed me. I have not played any of the games on any of the other streaming. I didn't even realize until we were preparing for this episode that Netflix had even games on it. I guess maybe I had seen an article, but I haven't played any of the games. Have you played any of the games on Netflix?
I have not, but a friend of mine did mention that they're there, and I'll see like an ad for them, but it looks like the games when I'm on Netflix home screen and I see the games that they're off, that they're telling me to play, it looks like it's like the next, what is that, Candy Crush. I'm like, this game doesn't look good to me.
Yeah, it just looks like a similar game to a game that everybody already knows. I didn't want to call it a copy.
It looks like they're games that, like, I would go over to my parents' house and we would be watching TV and they would be playing it, like, on their iPad. It looks like games like that. Mm. Like, not games of, like, real substance and quality. So, yeah. I don't know. Those are my thoughts on that.
Well, the Crunchyroll Game Vault came out officially and launched in November of 2023, immediately becoming available to both Mega and Ultimate fan subscription members. And one of the things that they focused on right out of the gate was making retro style games available, which I think is really interesting. It's a specific niche to focus on. I'm guessing it's because they were trying to build like a single game platform that could support a lot of different types of games, and if they were all like 8-bit games or retro style games, then maybe like from a technology perspective they could support it more easily than if they were just creating a bunch of different types of games that had different technical dependencies to make sure that they ran smoothly like on the Crunchyroll servers. Just get a little technical there, but I'm guessing that the retro games don't require as much, from their tech teams to support to create really great experiences for their users than like more modern, pretty sophisticated games might. So right out of the gate, that also makes sense. But beyond that, I think it also probably makes sense because likely their target customers are folks who probably grew up playing a lot of these games in the 90s. So it kind of makes sense that's where they really wanted to start. One thing that I found really interesting, as I said, I didn't really realize Netflix had even started this, was that like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was available on Netflix as a game that you could download and play. Isn't that like surprising?
That is actually shocking news, Binge Monster. There's no way. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think you can't play games like that on the Crunchyroll Game Vault, but one of the primary reasons for that is because Crunchyroll's Game Vault is focused on games that are in some way anime related, obviously, right? But it's just interesting that they're starting to see these streaming services really invest in trying to create games that can also be accessed through the streaming platforms as well. That's not something that I had on my bingo card kind of this year. So with that being said, one of the games that we wanted to both try and talk to our listeners about is Hime Quest, which is a game that is currently available on the Crunchyroll Game Vault and revolves around a certain character that anybody who has a Crunchyroll subscription has probably seen one way or the other, Hime, who's really interesting, right? Maybe we should start by giving a little bit of background on Hime.
Yeah, Hime, I mean, y'all, the thing about Hime is she has been the Crunchyroll mascot, I think, since like 2005? No, 2012, I'm so sorry. And basically what happened was that Crunchyroll had a contest, an art contest to try to draw the mascot, what have you. This person named Eunice Dahe Bike was the winner of this contest, and they so fell in love with this design of this character that they then worked with the artist, brought her in, and created this character of Hime. And Hime is, I think Hime's full name is literally Crunchyroll Hime. She's a kitsune, which is a like fox spirit kind of person. So like, I mean, perfectly decked out in the orange. And also, funny enough, they say that some of the orange and some of the way that she is dressed is actually influenced or maybe inspired by one of our favorite anime.
Oh no.
AKA Naruto.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's a fox spirit. She's a high school student. And she is also a ninja, they say. But she's so cute. She's everywhere. She's definitely taken on a lot of the persona of Crunchyroll. I mean, what I just found out in preparing for this podcast was that Hime of Crunchyroll streams video games to YouTube. So it's a VTuber model that is of Hime, and then they'll stream games and stuff. And I was like, that is so fascinating. And I watched a couple of the videos and I was like, I wonder, I'm sure I could find it out, but I was like, I wonder what lucky like voice actor or gamer got to audition and be Hime. I'm like, that's as close to being Hime as you can, because like, I don't know, I don't think I see Hime at like conventions and stuff, except she's just on everything Crunchyroll, like lanyards and shirts and this, that. She also has a black cat too, so they're sad.
So you resonate with her.
I literally am like, should I cosplay Hime? Like, are we living the same life? Yeah. I very much became like obsessed with her. But I didn't even know she existed for a really long time, which is kind of weird, until like I really got to dive into Crunchyroll, and then I was like, oh, she's everywhere. Like, I feel like she becomes more and more the mascot of Crunchyroll as the years go on. I think, you know, obviously at her peak now.
I think that there was also kind of a subtlety to which her, you know, her image or her, you know, current design was really utilized in the early days. Now it's much more in your face. It's much more obvious that Crunchyroll is trying to use her likeness as a way to associate people to the Crunchyroll brand. Like, that's a lot more intentional on the website and in the games that you download and just all over the place. To your point, even at cons, right? Like on posters. So yeah, I think they're doing a much more aggressive job at trying to associate like Hime with Crunchyroll than they were in the early days. So I don't think even if people were watching anime on Crunchyroll, even, you know, 8-9 years ago, that they would say like, oh yeah, Hime. Like, I mean, I think that maybe subtly some people notice, but definitely a much more prominent part of the Crunchyroll persona today than it was before. Mm-hmm.
I really didn't know she existed, and I kind of felt bad about that. But I was like, oh wait, who is this? And I think actually you had said something about Hime, and I was like, what is he talking about? And then it kind of all came and fell into place. But do you want to just quickly touch on the game that is focused on Hime?
Yeah, and again, right? It makes sense that one of the first games that became available in as they launched the Crunchyroll Game Vault is a game centered around Hime, and her game Hime Quest is also an 8-bit action adventure game, which features her. One really interesting thing that they did was, at least for a limited time, and it was available for pre-order, was they made the game available for Game Boy Color. It's also available for PC, and it's supported on a number of browsers like Chrome and Firefox and so forth today. But when it was first launched, there was a limited release of the game in a cartridge for Game Boy Color, which I think is brilliant as far as I'm concerned, yeah. Because it really proves that Crunchyroll understands like its users, its community. It's that really niche, like if you're going to create a retro game, to make it available for the Game Boy Color, to give people an excuse to open up their closets and pull out the Game Boy Color again for a new game that they've never played before. It's just, it's really cool that they were able to do that.
It's such a moment. And I think like I really started to kind of spiral because I was like, I wonder like if this is sort of a nod to like older anime fans that were totally like that are around our age, even where like, I mean, I had a Game Boy Color and that was like the first thing I ever had as far as like we had the N64 and then we had the Game Boy and like played it all the time. And I was like, I bet that was so nostalgic of a moment, like to your point, to be able to buy a new cartridge to go in it and play a whole new game.
Now, admittedly, for me, it was mostly Pokemon that I did that with the occasional Zelda and like maybe Dragon Ball Z game, but it was mostly like definitely Pokemon that I was playing on any Game Boy, whether it was like the Game Boy Color. I don't even know if I had a Game Boy Color. I had a Game Boy Advance. I had a DS. I had an SP. Is that what it was? Was that the one between?
Is the SP the cube one?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think, I think they made a Game Boy, which was like, they had like a purple one, a gray one, and then maybe they had the purple translucent one, which I feel like was like such a staple. My brother had that one. And they like, and then they put out the Game Boy Color that was like yellow, red. Mine was blue. And all that
Not
stuff.
Green.
It was, I don't think they, oh, they did have a green one. They did have a green one. I don't know. My parents stink. I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, I played definitely Pokemon and I played this game. It was a Dalmatian. It was like a 102 Dalmatian game. And you had to like run around and like free the dogs from cages. It was like, it was everything to me.
You were doing the Lord's work.
I really liked that game as well. But the thing is, like, the nostalgia of this game, you can even feel when you download it from Crunchyroll. So, like, I went, you know, to, like, how you would find this game even, or how you would find some of these games that you know are available through Crunchyroll. You can literally just search it, or, like, you can search games. I'm sure there's a whole section on the home screen, but I knew I was looking for Hime Quest, so I Googled Hime Quest. I looked up Hime Quest in Crunchyroll app and it kind of came up right away. And then you click it and then it kind of brings you out to, for me, the Google Play Store, but the App Store. And then you download the game and then you log in with your Crunchyroll credentials, which I was like, oh, so I wonder if you want a free to play it, but you don't pay for Crunchyroll. Like, can you play it? I guess you can play it.
I think so. I think there was an option to also create an account with your Gmail as well. But okay. I definitely logged in with my Crunchyroll account.
I also logged in with your Crunchyroll account. But yeah, so even when you log in, I was honestly taken aback because it zaps you in. It makes your screen a entire Game Boy. Which was so not what I expected. I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect it to have like a little cube at the top and then like literally the little D-pad and the A and the B. an option at start. I did not expect that at all. And then the colors come to life, the music comes to life, and it's so well done, and it's so classic. I don't know, what was your experience when you first opened the game?
So I opened the game like while I was brushing my teeth, and like admittedly some water like splashed on the screen, and I think I hit next a couple of times, so I missed what was like the opening story being told of like the Y2K. And so when I jumped into the game and actually started playing, I had the same reactions as you. It was just like, oh, they really have done an incredible job of turning my phone into a Game Boy, was my first thought. And my second thought was like, I wonder how well this is going to work. And it was pretty smooth, actually. In a really exciting way. And yeah, that was like my first initial thought, although I was confused. So for those, just to avoid this for our listeners, I'll tell you very briefly, like a little synopsis of the game. So this game, true to its intended target audience of folks who played 90s games, the game is centered around Hime, who seeks to save an anime club from Y2K, which was a computer issue that was supposed to destroy the world in the year 2000, and everybody was worried about this. And it's set in 1999. There's something electric in the air, and a malevolent force has crept into New Crunchy City, wreaking havoc on its technology and tragically destroying the anime club's precious DVD VCR combo player. And Hime looks to root out the bad monster
brazen
to save the anime club. That's the synopsis of the game. So Y2K being, for anybody who grew up in the 90s, you know, at this point it's kind of a culture. Y2K it had a weird fashion moment like two years ago, right?
It is alive and well. The Y2K is alive and well. And I think that sometimes Y2K... No, of course it doesn't. Y2K fashion, I feel like, is just like early 2000s fashion, which totally checks out. It makes no sense. People are wearing things and you're like, honestly, you have to be an idol to wear this. But they make it work. The kids. But honestly, you ever walk into a store? Okay, side tangent. You ever walk into a store and you see something Y2K, Gio, and you're like, man, I kind of want that, but I am too old to wear this.
I have noticed recently that there are a lot of like trendy things where I'm like, I can't pull that off. Like
I can't do it.
I wouldn't feel good wearing it.
But you would feel good saving your anime club.
Yes, I would.
And rescuing the DVD VCR. So like the game opens and it truly just opens. Like I didn't see any like, this is your like quest, or this is your trial, this is your objective, this is what you're trying to do. It kind of just drops you in the library. I think now with the club, but like what I started to do, and also going back to it making your phone like a Game Boy, the vibration of it as you're pressing the buttons is really, really organic and really, really well done. So that being said, I think that's another reason why like it works so well, is because like whatever coding blah, 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 they had to do to make the like reverb, I guess that's the right word, feel correct. Anyway, so I just started talking to people, my little pixel Hime walking around. And then I went outside.
It is pixel-like, right? Like, just for people who've not seen this, like, the fact that it's an 8-bit game, just think, like, old-school Zelda, old-school Pokemon, and just, like, walking through the fields. Like, it's that type of a video game, right? So, sorry, continue.
No, that's a great point. Like, yeah, imagine if you looked up any game, really, from the Game Boy Color, especially, it gave me really big Pokemon vibes just in the, like, way that you walk around and the way that you do everything. So literally think Pokemon, but Hime and New Crunchy City. Or what is it? Yeah, New Crunchy City.
New Crunchy City, yeah.
No, it was interesting to me, though. I mean, it's like, why is it New Crunchy City, like New York City?
I think they're just trying to keep it, like, you know, neutral.
Yeah. Really? You think New York City's neutral?
I think New Crunch City is.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. I couldn't help but make the connection, so... Yeah. But you kind of just kind of walk around, and I'll just kind of speak to my experience playing the game. Like, I honestly was confused, but I was just talking to people and walking around. Like, I walked by the coffee shop, and I was like, should I go in there and try to get a coffee? Like, is the game going to let me do this? And, like, what will that do? Will that give me energy? Will that heal me? I don't know. But I definitely, like, I was trying to learn how to fight because there were slimes and I couldn't figure out how to fight them. So I was like, there must have been something in the story that I did not progress to yet in order to like actually fight off the Y2K. I don't know. What was your...
Fight off the Y2K.
I didn't know how to fight off the Y2K.
I actually thought that the game... was also a little bit unclear. It was fun. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. I made my way to a boss battle eventually. But I definitely think that I could have benefited from like a Pokemon style kind of world building setup that pushed me into a specific direction and kind of gave me a sense of where I needed to go. So this is definitely a game for those of you who are, you know, used to like walking into a world and kind of just figuring it out as you go. This is a game that you would definitely thrive in. For those of you who need a little bit of hand holding, just talk to everyone that you see and eventually you'll kind of figure it out is eventually what I learned. I also struggled a little bit at first with trying to figure out the fight mechanics of, you know, using the sword and using the bombs and so forth. But eventually you do kind of figure it out. I really loved, I have to give like a quick shout out to the music, which was really entertaining. And even in the boss battles, like the areas, when you walked into the boss areas, the music was really fun and exciting and, you know, catchy. Definitely a detail that they didn't need to go nearly as hard focusing on it, and they really did. No, the music was really cool, honestly. It definitely gave strong Pokemon vibes with just like the way you walk into buildings and how you go up and talk to random people. I think that they built on that kind of nostalgia that I think people have when they play some of those style games. And that's why, that made it a little bit easier, but I wouldn't say it was necessarily the most intuitive game I've ever played, but it's still cool. Like it's still very interesting.
Well, honestly, the nostalgia alone, and like I genuinely was getting, I was very entertained just walking around and talking to the people. Like I'm telling you, when they said, "Oh yeah, this is the coffee shop," I was so tickled. I was like, ooh. And then like I was walking around and they, you know, to your point, they kind of do tell you, they're like, oh wow, outside, oh no, look at that. And you're like, okay, I better walk outside the library. And then you go outside and they're like, oh, just over there, oh no, what is it? And you're like, all right, I better walk over there, like, I better figure it out. But yeah, I too like the music. I mean, just again, like, I don't know if it was the nostalgia, the look, everything about it was kind of just like, ooh, like they really did this well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd be interested to see how thick the plot gets as we go.
Or how big the game is. I'm not sure how big it is.
Yeah,
it
looked like
there was
like
four bigger sections of the world that you would like, four or six different sections of the world you navigate to. Obviously, I didn't, and I don't think you had a chance to like really dive all the way in, and I certainly didn't have a chance to complete the game, but I get the sense that it's like a decent game that isn't going to take you like weeks and weeks and weeks to finish, which is also kind of nice.
I'd be interested to see if anyone did a speed run or something.
I'm sure someone did on YouTube. I almost looked it up. But I didn't have a chance to do that before we started recording today.
Honestly, you're better for it. You're truly better for it. But you played another game, right? You had the chance to play another game. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I the first game that I saw, and they're obviously marketing this pretty heavily on the Game Vault right now, is One Punch Man World. And I gotta say, I'm really excited to talk about this because it was not at all what I expected in such a good way. And was good enough that I would actually keep playing it. Which is saying something, because I don't have the time, nor usually the desire to pick up PC games. And don't get me wrong, like, maybe I'll play the Hime World game once or twice more, but, like,
casually. If I'm being
completely, yeah, super casually, right? But, like, the One Punch Man game world, I have a lot of very positive things to say about. But first, maybe I'll start with a little bit of a synopsis that they provide on the website. Heroes are needed in One Punch Man World. A sinister wave of monster attacks have left Earth's cities and the Hero Association under duress. However, after 3 years of special training, Saitama has become so powerful that he can defeat opponents with a single punch. The thing is, Saitama just does the hero thing for fun, but when every enemy goes down in one punch, overwhelming power can be kind of boring. Now, in front of the laid-back, strongest hero, a new enemy appears. Will he be able to show his full power today? And even though that's a synopsis of the game, it's also really a synopsis for the anime. For those of you who have never watched One Punch Man, I highly encourage you watch just even season one before you play the game, because it'll make what you're playing that much more enjoyable. You don't even need to be fully caught up to really appreciate the game, because it kind of really starts from zero and kind of aligns well with, like, the story of the actual anime also. But it is pleasantly excellent.
Wow.
It really is. I was prepared to come up here and be like, yeah, it was fun. But, like, I actually really enjoyed playing it. And for two reasons. One, I expected kind of a basic flash game. Because, and again, not to any discredit to Hime World, which is, like, clearly a retro game. It's designed for nostalgia. It's designed as, like, an 8-bit retro game. I just expected kind of, like, one level up from that. From this game. Which was, like, for me... Cartoon Network had some really fun, super fun Flash games back in the day.
And what do you one game, what do you mean Flash game? Like,
oh, like Flash game? Like, the Flash was the, like...
Like, it's just thing. A quick thing?
No. Like, do you remember Flash Player? Like, on your browser, when you would have to download certain versions of Flash to play, like, games?
What?
Did you ever play games on PC growing up? Like on, like, Disney.com or Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon.com, like, any of those. They all ran on, like, Flash. It was called, like, Flash Player. And that's why they're called Flash games, not because they're quick, but, like...
What do you mean? I don't know what this is. Do you download, is it like Steam? Like, you download Flash and then, like, you're able to run other games?
Embarrassingly... Because I work in technology, I feel like I should really be able to explain this better. But what I remember is, like, it was all games were written on Flash and supported by Flash Player. So if you didn't have the, like, Flash Player installed on your laptop, on your computer, you couldn't play almost any of the games that were available online. So you probably actually had it and just didn't know what it was and just played the games. But it was... I believe supported by Java, but the games were written in a certain language that allowed for you to play. And then, like, I don't know, more than a decade ago, Flash went extinct and nobody builds on top of Flash anymore. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that, like, all games were played on Flash.
I lost to me, brother. I thought that you had CDs and you would put this, like, I had CD games.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about CD games, and CD games might not have actually been built on Flash. I'm talking about like early 2000s, like when you go play like Mini Clips or like, did you ever play Mini Clips?
Oh, I played addictinggames.com.
That's probably one as well. I'm sure all of those games were Flash
wow.
games.
Wow. So yeah. wait. So your just to go back, because honestly, I couldn't really listen besides you kept saying Flash and I was like, what the hell does that mean? So you're saying that One Punch Man you thought would be one tier higher than a Flash game.
No, I thought it'd be closer to a Flash game. I thought it'd be one tier higher than the 8-bit game that I had played, which was Hime World. Like for me, that was like the progression in video games that I was used to, going from like playing on a Game Boy to playing games on my computer, playing Flash games. I expected because I when I was younger, I think I talked about this on the episode with Rion. I played the Samurai Jack game on CartoonNetwork.com, and that was a Flash game, and that was super fun. It was just this like 2D jump. It was a Flash game, and it was really, really fun, and I don't think I ever beat it, and I had kind of vowed when we had Rion on the podcast to eventually find that game and see if I can continue playing and eventually beat it. I have not done that. But I expected it to be a 2D, you know, kind of still a retro game. And it wasn't. It was a 3D immersive world that you walk in and you fight. And the fighting mechanics were Genshin-like. Like, they were really fun. And yeah. All of a sudden, like, I was clicking my mouse and typing, you know, different letters to use different attacks and different combos. And I was, like, hitting tab to, like, retarget. And I was like, wait a minute, this is like a really sophisticated game for something I expected to just like space bar and like, I don't know, I just really expected a very laid back, simple game that did not require me to like plan out my moves and create combos using different keys in my mouse. Like, I just didn't expect that. By the way, I didn't have a mouse. I was using my touchpad and it was just click, click. Clicking all over the place. I was like, oh, I was not prepared for this. I wasn't. So
clicking.
And the graphics are great. The graphics are really smooth and great, and the fight scenes are incredible.
I have something to say too. So actually, you know what? Now that you keep speaking on this, I'm going back to my memory bank of Anime NYC this year, and I went to one of the Crunchyroll industry panels. Uh-huh. And they were promoting this game. And they had like a big first trailer. And I remember being like, hey, I don't really care about this. Can you show more anime trailers? But now I wish I had paid more attention.
Listen.
But it was beautiful. It was I was like, wow, okay, that's so cool.
There would be cutscenes of like anime like fighting scenes that were animated that you would watch, and then like in the middle of the scene, like the character you're playing is like fighting a monster, and in the middle of the cutscene, like you'd have to press a button so that the character does something in the cutscene, and so you really feel like you're participating in it even while you're watching something. And there's that, and then there's the actual fight mechanics in the game that were also great. And yeah, I just was pretty blown away to not really expect something like to this level of a game that really was there and available and free and was really good and also followed the storyline of One Punch Man pretty well. So I will actually play it. It got so confusing though. By confusing, I mean I was so impressed that I decided to go look this up, and I wondered if I was the only one who had kind of reacted this way. And everywhere I've gone, I actually have only found positive reviews and like 5 out of 5-star reviews. I have not found a negative review about this game at all. And I hadn't heard about this game. So I was like, what is going on? Yeah, it's really fun. I actually think you would like it. Like, and you've not watched One Punch Man. I know we've talked about this before. But, like, it's fun. So I encourage people to go do it. And the cool thing about this, for those of you who have watched One Punch Man, you will appreciate this, that you can play as other heroes in this and not just Saitama. And you get to use those heroes, you know, powers and their moves. And you can switch between different heroes and you can walk around the city and fight villains after villains after villains, just kind of similar to the way that the show portrays it. They just kind of show up and they do their little spiel, like, you know, announcing that they're going to take over the world, and you just kind of interrupt them and you fight them. But yeah.
Is the game like a, I don't know all the proper terms, but is it like a narrative game where you are like, you are on this mission, you are doing this thing, or can you like kind of walk around?
It's
like
both.
Open worldy? It's like it's a little
open
bit
world.
Of...
No, it is open world, but you can take on, you know, missions. You can walk around, you can switch between characters. Yeah.
So it's... there's like main mission, and then there's like little side quest mission, and like,
I didn't play any of these side quests because I actually haven't gotten that far. Uh-huh. But from what I've seen, you know, it is open world and you can take on missions. I don't know if there are like little small things that you can do too, but I imagine there is. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Not gonna lie.
What if I played this One Punch Man game and then vowed to never watch the anime?
That would be a crime because One Punch Man is very funny.
Just kidding. I would never do that.
But I think for people to get the most out of this, you should definitely watch at least the first season of the show. Just to understand the humor too, and to understand these characters, because you may go like, why is this person like this? But yeah, and this actually came out at the end of January. January 31st is when this game released, so it's been out now for about, you know, almost three months. And
I wonder if they will like iterate on it, if they'll add like new downloadable content or like continue the story.
Yeah, I think that they are. From what I could see, and it looks like you can also pay to download certain things as well, which makes sense. And I did not play this on mobile. I don't know if it's available on mobile. I played this on my laptop. But yeah, I think any One Punch Man fan should try this game.
Because would like it.
Yeah. Your boyfriend watched One Punch Man, did he not?
Oh yeah.
He should try
it. Oh yeah. He's been playing this mobile game where he's a, like he owns a lumber business.
Oh.
Yeah. We've both been playing our mobile games recently because I'm back on the Penguins. Because they put out an event where you can get a Sakura sake bottle penguin. And I was like, I want that. So now the grind is on. I have 9 days, but I think I got it. I'm only one level away, so I could very well get it like today.
I'm happy for you.
But hey, maybe I'll play more of that Hime game and figure out how to fight the slimes, because I couldn't do it.
And hopefully you who are listening to our podcast today will try one of the other games in the Crunchyroll vault. There are many there, and my understanding is that they're going to continue to release more and more. They don't just have retro games, as I've just described. They have this, you know, this One Punch Man game. I'm not sure how many of their other games are open world, but I know there are some games that are kind of mobile only. There are some games that are both laptop and mobile. So they have something, they have a little bit of something for everyone.
I love how much you fell in love with it.
Like, I did.
This is about.
I was really excited about it. I genuinely, like, I'm not just saying that just so that it sounds good and I, like, giving props to Crunchyroll. Like, if it was bad, I would say it was bad. I was prepared to say it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't. So I'm happily surprised. And with that, that is our episode on the Crunchyroll Game Vault. Give it a chance. Give it a look. I'm a binge monster.
And I'm a green queen.